the speaker spoke about, but we went forward. And I should mention that I came out of a Pentecostal background, so it was very common in that type of setting to have what was called altar calls. And we pretty much had one after every service, and sometimes we went up because we felt it was the right thing to do. Sometimes we went up because we were literally forced to go up, and sometimes we went up just because we felt a bit persuaded by the speaker that we should be up there. But this particular night, I went forward, and for some reason, it was different that night. I sense a peace after I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. And I know that something different had happened. And so I went home, and I told my family, I told friends. Some were happy for me, some were skeptical, and some actually gave me timelines as to when all of this would wear off and I'd be back to normal. But after that, one of the things that I did was that I went out and I purchased a Bible. And in that Bible, at the back of the Bible, I drew a picture. It was a picture of a person in prison, looking out through the prison bars. And underneath that, I wrote, and Pastor Jeremy, you can tell me how theologically correct this is. It may not be. But I wrote in my youthful exuberance, condemned to life everlasting. Condemned to life everlasting. And over the years, I've had my struggles. I have had times when I've been close to God, times when I didn't feel so close to Him, and again, out of my own doing. But in all of that, God has been faithful. And that inscription that I wrote in my Bible, condemned to life eternal, still guides me today. And so in all of that journey, I want to share some of the things over the years that I think God has been trying to teach me. And I trust that as I share, some of the things will be relevant to all of us and can be a learning point for us. Just to mention that that Bible that I wrote in so many years ago, I still have that Bible today, and it is a lasting testament to me of my conviction and my commitment to God. So over the intervening years, my faith journey has been a combination of highs and lows, mountaintops and valley experiences. Periods of great faith and trust, and times of doubt, times of boldness and moments of fear, times of closeness and listening to God, and times when God seemed to be distant and uncaring. In all of this, however, in the depth of my being, I know that God was and is always with me. He has never left me, and He never will. His love and care is unending. And over these years, I know that there are lessons that God has been trying to teach me. And some of those lessons I will outline today. The first lesson, and it ties in very closely with what Alyssa shared this morning, is the importance of the assembly of God's people. In the year that I came to faith in God, there was a revival in our church, and a lot of people came forward and began their relationship with Jesus Christ. And there were a lot of young people. And so in the church, there was a new vibrancy, a new energy that we all tapped into. We were a set of young people who were driven, who were focused on serving God. And in an assembly where people were also focused on serving God. But as I mentioned, I came to Christ when I was in my mid-teens. So shortly thereafter, I left this small country town where I was born, where I grew up. I moved to the big city, Kingston, the capital of Jamaica, to go on to college. Fortunately, the college that I went to had also a very vibrant and dynamic student Christian ministry. And so I was still surrounded by people of faith and people who had a sense of purpose and the knowledge of what they were about. The same was also true when I left. I left Jamaica and went to university in Trinidad and Tobago. Again, there was this group of Christians who were excited about God and who were fervent about serving Him. So, in all of that, I was surrounded by a group of people who loved God and who cared for God, and who cared for God's people. And that translated into my life after university, my young adult life, my early work life, where I was always in that setting. But the only time that I had a major drift away from God was during that period right after college, where having come out of an environment where you were supported, you identified with people around you, into a situation where you were all on your own. I was on my own. I was now a young adult working away from those type of settings. And things, I just drifted away from God. I wouldn't say I went wild or anything like that, but that closeness just wasn't there. That fellowship, that consciousness of Jesus being involved in my life, just wasn't there. And so, what that has taught me is the importance of being a part of an assembly of the people of God. And so the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He said in Hebrews 10:24 and 25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." When we are with the assembly of God's people and we fellowship together, we enter into worship together and we hear of and see the acts of faith, and we participate in prayers of faith and hear of prayers answered, as we have done this morning. In these and other ways, we challenge and we spur each other on, and doubts and fears are challenged and eradicated. However, the cautionary note is that we must always strive to build our own individual faith, so we are also strong and resilient when we are the church scattered. Because as I mentioned, once I left that fellowship and went out, in a sense, I was a bit lost. But God pursued me and he brought me back. And I can now stand in my own faith. And I encourage us this morning who are here, especially the young people, is that you build your own faith and be able to stand in your own faith. I'll go on quickly to other lessons that I've learned. Lesson two is the importance of having others come alongside us in support. It's often been said that Christianity is likened to a team sport, not a solo sport. And Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Throughout my faith journey, God has brought individuals into my life who have been able to mentor me, to challenge me, to encourage me, to motivate me, to discipline me, to disciple me. And looking back, I found that the greatest correlation in my growth in my faith journey is when there were others who came alongside me to support me and to encourage me. And so I would encourage us that even while we are in assembly together, that we take time to get to minister to and be ministered to at an individual level. I would also mention that one of the persons who God brought alongside me and who has been one of the strongest influence on my life has been my wife, Sarah. We met right after she was out of high school and I was in college. And we got married after she left college and I left university. And I thank God every day for her in my life. She has been a support for me. I thank God for her wisdom, for her faith, for her support, and for her encouragement. And Proverbs 18:28 tells us that he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And while not strictly speaking about a wife this morning, I would encourage us to ensure that when we have people come into our lives, there are people who add to us, not subtract. There are people who build us up and people who add to our lives, not diminish it. Thessalonians 5:10 and 11 says, he died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together in him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. In Hebrews 3:12 and 13 says, he died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Another lesson I've learned is, sorry, I'm just skipping one because of time, is the love and faithfulness of God. Over the years, God has on numerous occasions and in numerous ways demonstrated his love and faithfulness to us. He has provided for us, he has protected us, he has pursued us, and he has extended his grace and his mercy. A significant area of our lives where I think God has demonstrated this most eloquently was in our attempts to start a family. We lost several pregnancies in that attempt. And we got to a point where we had virtually given up hope and had actually begun to think about adoption as an option. And out of, I'd say out of the blue, the blues, God proved himself faithful and provided us with a son. And when we thought that was it, God provided us with another son. And so we had two children when we had virtually given up hope. And we believe that's a testament of God's love and God's faithfulness. And it goes back to one of the hymns that I love that is a favorite of mine, which is the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And a verse in the refrain says, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So that lesson that God, of God's faithfulness is one that I would share this morning, and trust that will minister to all of us here. The final one I'll share is a lesson of trust and faithfulness. Over the last 6 years, I have suffered two job losses through company reorganization. The first occurred in 2011, and I worked close to home, just about 15 minutes. And after that job loss, it took me 7 months to find another job placement. And this job placement was in Mississauga, which to my mind was, you know, like a world away compared to 15 minutes drive. And in all of that, I questioned why God allowed this and why all of this was happening. I wish I could say I just rested and trusted in God and all was good. But I really questioned, and there were times of doubts, there were times of fear, there were times of great trust when I just believed that God would do it. So it was a roller coaster ride, and I thank God for my wife, and again, I said her faithfulness, and others who came alongside. And so I started work there, and little by little, the job changed a bit where I was able to work from home a couple of days, and then that grew to more days per week until I was able to virtually work from home and choose when I went in to the office, which was good. But in one sense, that was also not good in that I was less visible. And so in the reorg, a second reorg, which took place just earlier this year, in which I lost my job again, was just that, I think, because I was remote and the client wanted someone who was more visible, who was at the location, I lost my job just earlier in September. Again, I went through the same emotions, but God has been faithful, and I got a job placement. But this one was even further, and this one is in St. Catharines. So again, I went through the questions as to why, and the whole roller coaster ride of emotions. And so I believe that through it all, and just in my devotional, what God has been trying to teach me is to trust Him and to be thankful and serve Him. And again, it goes back to another song that I think of, I'll Trust When I Cannot See by John W. Peterson. When I cannot understand God's leading, when I do not see the reason, know the reason why, he should choose the path that lies before me. Still to him in faith I reply. I will trust when I cannot see, when I'm faced with adversity, and believe your will is always best for me. I will trust when I cannot see. And just like that song, there's an old adage that says, when you cannot see the hand of God, trust his heart. And I would encourage us this morning, because sometimes we do not see what God is doing. But if we trust the heart of God, the heart of God that loves us, that we know he loves us. And Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that what God has planned for us is to build us up and to do good for us, not to harm us. And if we don't even know what God is doing, but we can trust his heart that he loves us and he cares for us, then we can move forward with him in faith. And so over the years in my faith journey, these are some of the things that God has been trying to teach me. Some I've learned, some I'm still learning, some he has had to teach me over and over. But I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for the time that I've... Sorry for the time I've taken, but I trust that in all of this, God has been able through that to speak something to your heart. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ray.